Welcome back to another episode of the Brazil Babble Podcast. We are back to the NFL. I know the last two that I put out have been Star Wars Mandalorian content with Jake and Sal, and that was actually a whole different podcast. It was the Palermo podcast that we named it because Sal was there. So this is a new podcast. The Brazil Babble is back, and I have Mike Hatch with me. How you doing, Mike?
I am doing well.
Doing well. You excited for the playoffs? I know your team didn't make it. We're both in kind of the same boat.
I'm excited for the playoffs to see what happens. But yeah, kind of disappointed the Patriots weren't in, but early indications going into the season was that they would not be making it. So I fully braced for it, and now basketball started. So I am able to cope with my feelings with the Celtics.
Now, how many years in a row did the Patriots make it?
Well, they've only missed the playoffs once, and that was 2008 since 2001. Actually, maybe twice since 2001. Once in 2002 and once in 2008.
So, yeah, you're going probably through a few withdrawals here in the next week or so. I know you mentioned to me over text that it's weird not being in the championship because that was kind of what you're used to.
It was basically AFC championship game or bust. That's how New England Patriots playoffs went. Like, if you didn't make it to the championship game, it was a bust of a season. So.
And I'm in here. I'm on the opposite side of things. The last 3 years, we've made the playoffs, and we have a Super Bowl, so that's fantastic. But the Eagles clearly tanked at the final game of the season, which we'll get into later, I'm sure. But we're going to go over the playoff matchups first and foremost. Let's start with this Saturday's. We're not going to go AFC, NFC. We're just going to go by schedule here. And the first one on the docket is Colts and Bills. Now, I have invested money in the Bills before the season started, so I am clearly rooting for them. What do you see in this game?
I think it was a tough matchup for the Colts. The Bills are my number two team in the AFC. I really like where they're going. I think Josh Allen has really stepped up his game. He truly is a top five quarterback this season, maybe even top three. Their defense seems to be getting healthier, which has allowed for better play. I think a big addition to them is that Matt Milano and Edmonds are both getting healthy as their season's going on. And it's just a tough team to stop. I mean, Colts are very good running the ball. Phillip Rivers, who knows what you're going to get with him. He can be hit or miss. But Phillip Rivers' playoff history tells me he's not going to be anything special. So this might be the year that the Bills move past the first round.
So yeah, when I look at the AFC teams, I look at who can put up the same amount of points as the Kansas City Chiefs. And really the only team that sticks out to me is the Buffalo Bills. Their offense clearly has taken a step forward. Stephon Diggs, that trade was, in my mind, the most impactful pickup of the offseason. I don't think there's another player that you can say changed a team like Stephon Diggs did.
And at the time, I thought they gave up too much for Stephon Diggs. I fully recant that statement. You've seen the impact that he's made. I love the him over the top, Beasley underneath. And then you got Allen, legs. Singletary isn't a terrible running back.
Their run game could keep them down in the playoffs, in my mind. They have absolutely no run game.
Yeah, their run game is terrible. That's their one downfall I see in their offensive game. Because even their tight end play, Tyler Kroft is not a bad tight end.
I like to call him Kroft Maga.
Oh, there you go.
That's my nickname for him. I don't know if someone else came up with that first, but that's what I call him.
I've never heard it.
All right, so I'll take credit for that one. But yeah, their defense has stepped up. I think a sneaky candidate for Coach of the Year could be Sean McDermott. I don't think he'll win it. I think he should get some praise for the team's success this year. But I think he had a very good season. And on the opposite side of this, the Colts, like you said, Phillip Rivers hasn't really been a great playoff quarterback. I'm on the boat that he had a very good season this year. And if he does want to come back next year, I think the Colts will absolutely be in on him. Because he had such a solid season. I mean, if I'm remembering right, he has a quarterback rating that's top five of any quarterback this year. So he's been very, very solid and exactly what the Colts needed.
Yeah, I don't think he's been a terrible quarterback at all this year. His play can just be too inconsistent for me. And I even like how the Colts use, like, you'll see it'll be 3rd and 1 and they need that 1 yard to gain, or 4th and 1. They bring in Jacoby Brissett as like their big package, like almost that extra lineman that you see a lot of offenses use, like a bigger quarterback just to get that 1 yard, which also probably has something to do with Phillip Rivers' age too.
Oh, 100%. And their run game, as you mentioned, Jonathan Taylor's fantastic. He's really shot onto the scene. When you look at that division, you had two 250-yard rushers last week with Henry and Taylor, and Henry was the lower one, which is crazy. And then obviously Nyheim Hines, who I really like. He's on my fantasy team, but he's just kind of that change of pace back who's pass catching. He can run the ball. He's quick, elusive. They're going to be a tough out, and I think it is a tough matchup with the Bills, but their defense, Darius Leonard, DeForest Buckner, I think they can cause some problems for Josh Allen. It'll be a good game.
Yeah, it should definitely be a good game.
So here we are. Over-under is 52 of that game. What do you got?
Ooh, that does seem high for me. So I think I would say the under.
I think I'll stick with the under as well. 52 is basically like a... What is that, like a 30-20 game? I don't know if... We did see the Bills put up 50 on the Dolphins, but I don't know.
It's the Dolphins.
It is. Their defense is... They're good. They're good. I won't say they're bad, but...
No, I agree.
I don't think we'll see that in the playoffs, so I think we'll see more of a keep the ball in your hands a little bit longer.
Yeah, 52 is... That's just a... That's a big number. I don't see it happening. I mean, if you were going to say it's Kansas City, Buffalo, two high-scoring offenses that really aren't going to rely on their defenses, sure. But I could see the Colts favoring the run game like they did all season, trying to drain the clock a little bit, leading to less points.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I am with you. All right, we'll move to the next one on Saturday. This is the first in the NFC. We have the Rams at the Seahawks. This is the third time they're playing each other this season. Obviously, they are 1-1. Seahawks winning the last game. Very, very low-scoring game, though. So what do you expect out of these ones? We don't know if Goff is playing. It's looking like he is, but it could be another John Wolford game.
That's the biggest thing right there. If Goff plays, I think the Rams have a chance. But if he doesn't play, I don't have faith in them at all. Seattle's defense does scare me, though. They're very inconsistent. And the Rams do have offensive weapons in the passing game to be able to exploit that defense, in my mind, while they also have one of the best defenses in the league.
Yeah, the way I look at it, this is the complete opposite of what the Rams had when they went to the Super Bowl, is they had the high-powered offense and a shaky defense. Now you look at it as this offense is very inconsistent, and now they have an elite defense.
Yeah, I mean, even Goff himself, I feel... Goff himself, to me, he still is a quarterback where I feel like he makes bad decisions, and he almost like... Like, when I was watching the Patriots play them this season, Patriots should have lost that game, which they did lose, but Goff was trying to, like, bring the Patriots back into that game at points where I was like, what is he doing? Bad decisions. He threw a deep ball down the middle that got picked. Like, it just goes to the inconsistency. But if they are using their weapons the best they can, so if Cooper Kupp's playing the best game he can and Higby is too, and so is Robert Woods, then I don't see Seattle's defense stopping them, but it's a big question mark.
I think this game lies in the Seahawks' hands, and I think it only lies in Russell Wilson's hands, because we saw exactly what he could do the first 8 weeks when everyone was proclaiming him the MVP already, which is nothing new. We've seen that every single year of his career. But this year, it was just a little bit more heightened because his numbers were so high. They were like, oh, he's going to break all the records, the touchdown records, the passing records. Well, clearly that didn't happen. So it's up to Russell Wilson. Is he going to play like that, or is he going to play like he has the last like 8 weeks? And he has been subpar at best the last 8 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, Wilson needs to spread the ball a little bit more. You and I have kind of talked about, because I have Tyler Lockett on my fantasy team, and towards the end of the season, Lockett was kind of disappearing. And
except for game 17.
Well, yes. But you just need to be able to spread out the ball consistently. You can't just be DK, as great as DK is, but and Lockett is a
he's had
great
tough matchups with
two.
Ramsey, too. DK has not done anything against Ramsey.
And that's because Ramsey's one of the best corners in the league. Like, Ramsey is a physical corner in the league, which is very rare.
Over-under is 43 on this one. What do you got?
I'll take the over. I'll be generous to both of them.
I'm gonna take the under, and I'm only going to take the under because I think it's going to be another John Walford game.
If he's playing, I definitely expect an under. But hopefully he isn't. Like,
I think Goff will probably try, but I think it's going to come down to he's not being effective throwing the ball.
I mean, was it his throwing hand? It was his thumb on his throwing hand, right?
Yeah.
So it's definitely going to be tough either way.
Both matchups have been under 43 thus far this year. 39 and 29 points.
Okay, I'll take the under then. You convinced me.
Watch this be like the one shootout of the week.
Probably.
All right, next up, we're going to go to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Washington football team. First off, should the Washington football team be here, Mike?
If Philly didn't put in Sudfeld, then I don't know. I personally wanted to see what Jalen Hurts, as like a fan of the NFL, I wanted to see Hurts finish that game, see what he had.
I agree.
I know Peterson came into the week saying that Sudfeld was going to get minutes so they could evaluate him, which I think is
bogus.
Complete BS, because he's been on the roster now for a couple of years. So you know what he is. But he did come in saying that he was going to do it, and he kept to his word, and that's what he did. We praised Mike Tomlin for saying, hey, if you drop the ball, I'm going to bench you. He kept his word. Doug kept his word, I guess, too. So you got to give the guy props for staying to his word. And, I mean, he got you the sixth draft pick of the right. offseason. So
here's where
I'm at.
He's
an Eagles fan.
Here's where I'm at. As an Eagles fan, from the fan base perspective, the 6 is clearly better than the 9, right?
100%.
So, as an organizational standpoint, they did the right thing. They got the lower pick. It gives us a better draft pick next year. That's fine. Awesome. Doug Peterson said...
Needs for you to miss on Justin Jefferson 2.0.
And the funny thing is, they were asked about that yesterday, Howie Roseman was, about Justin Jefferson and DK Metcalf. And he said that they missed on both of them and that he can't make that mistake again. But then he went into the fact that Jalen Reagor was hurt this year, so we can't compare Jefferson to Reagor.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, no, we can compare them, and Jefferson's better. and everyone on planet Earth knew that going into the draft, except for Howie Roseman, clearly. But from an Eagles perspective, Doug Peterson kept his word. He kept Sudfeld on the active roster, and that's the first sign of tanking right there. If you're going to activate Nate Sudfeld, who hasn't been active for the first 16 weeks of the season, and put Carson in sweats and a jacket on the sideline, that's tanking right there. You're saying that Carson Wentz is going to be there. We're going to put our third best quarterback into the game, have a chance to play. He said that. We should have known that they were tanking. They had 9 other inactive starters, Miles Sanders, Fletcher Cox, Derek Barnett, all the other big names on the team basically didn't start. They didn't even play. Did they have injuries? Sure, maybe a cramped thumb. I don't know. But they weren't active. So we knew going into this game that Doug Peterson did not care about winning this ballgame, correct?
Oh, 100%.
And yet, after the game, when he was asked why Nate Sudfeld came into the game, they're asked, did you play to win this game? He said, I absolutely played to win this game. That is the biggest load of bullshit I have ever heard in my life. He did not play to win this game. He would have started, not had a bunch of inactives. Carson Wentz would have been active first and foremost. Hurts, awful, all game, 7-20. He had like 70 yards. Yeah, he had 2 rushing touchdowns, fantastic. But you had Chris Collinsworth praising him on the broadcast. Oh, he's been a passer all game. He was 7-20. That's 35%. I can throw 35%. Bench Jalen Hurts.
It sounds like Cam Newton passing the ball.
Oh, it is. And it's not even this game. Jalen Hurts has not been an accurate passer in these 4 games. We praise him. He beat the Saints. Fantastic. You beat the 10-2 Saints with Taysom Hill as quarterback. That's a backup quarterback. You go in, you play against Kyler Murray. Fantastic. He played well. That was a good game. But guess what? He didn't come out and win that game when he had a chance late in the game. And then last week, he had Dallas Cowboys. You were up 17-7 or whatever it was. He blew that game. They lost 34-17. He couldn't score a single point in the second half of the game. So now you come out against the Redskins. You have a 14-10 lead. They take the lead back, 17-14. Jalen Hurts can't do anything in the third quarter. So you bench him. Nate Sudfeld comes in. What does he do? He throws a pick. It's a pretty good punt. I'll give him that. I'm pretty sure I texted you that. Great punt, Sudfeld. Eddie fumbles a low snap from Kelsey. If you wanted to win that game, you keep Carson Wentz active, and he comes in and wins the game, and then you don't have a quarterback controversy over the offseason.
So my question to you now is it a quarterback controversy? Or is it a coaching controversy? No, but is it a coaching controversy? You saw all the reports yesterday. Players in the organization had to be held back from confronting him and such and such. So did he just lose himself the job? Because it sounds like ownership is appalled by this decision. It sounds like players in the locker room hate him. So
players
he burned
don't like
the bridge
him.
With Carson Wentz.
The general manager loves him, and that's the biggest problem. Howie Roseman is the problem. It's Doug Peterson. It's Howie Roseman. It's the quarterbacks that – it was the comment that they made last season when they drafted Hurts saying, this is a quarterback factory here in Philadelphia. Yeah, okay, it's a quarterback factory. We have two stinky-ass quarterbacks, three actually, Sudfeld too. Who can't throw the ball downfield. We one of the worst in the league on offense, and it was mostly because, one, Howie Roseman can't draft receivers. We know that. Two, Howie Roseman signs 45-year-old players to protect them on the line, like Jason Peters, who then get hurt, and then we have 14-year-olds playing who can't block anybody. Three, we don't draft receivers? Because that's number three again. Number four, we draft a quarterback second round when we just invested $100 million, whatever it is, in Carson Wentz, and then he says he wants to trade, and guess what? Doug Peterson says, no, there's no relationship issue here. It's an organizational issue, and it's Howie Roseman, it's Doug Peterson. Jeffrey Lurie needs to get out there and fire both these guys now.
Can we talk about how he said it's a quarterback factory, too? Like, what quarterback have the Eagles produced?
He said that in regards to the Super Bowl year, basically, when Carson Wentz was so good, and then Nick Foles came in and did the same thing. That's what he was referring to.
But even like before then and after then, like that'd be like New England saying, hey, we're a quarterback factory because Tom Brady's brought us to the Super Bowl 6 years and he's the GOAT.
Pretty much, yep. Yeah. Yep. And the thing is, Howie Roseman, he became GM after Chip Kelly, so it was the Carson Wentz draft year. So he's taken priority basically for Carson Wentz's success and then Nick Foles, bringing Nick Foles back.
Okay.
But yeah, I am appalled with what's happening with the Eagles. I'm on the side of things where if the Giants are upset, yeah, boo-hoo. Yeah, you guys won six games. Go win more games than that, absolutely. But on the other side, I see why they're frustrated because the Eagles blatantly gave that game up.
So, like, I'm more on the side of what you first said, too, where if Eagles fans are upset, like, you only had six wins. Like, you could have won more games, I'm sure of it.
How about the Giants don't blow an 11-point lead with 5 minutes left against the Eagles? Then you would have won the division.
Right. And that, and another thing, too, is like, yeah, you want to be in the playoffs. I get it. Like, players make a little extra money if they make it to the playoffs. But what do you think is going to happen in the first round? Do you think this is going to be like the 2000 Super Bowl where you upset Tom Brady again, or 2010 Super Bowl where you upset Tom Brady? Like, Tom Brady physically has an all-star team in Tampa Bay. What were you going to do? And that's my question. So, like, if anything, the Eagles also gave you better odds at a better draft pick. Like, we just talked about how the difference between 9 and 6 is a big difference in terms of it gives you a better outcome. It shows you, especially in this draft, like, the first two picks are probably going to be quarterbacks. So whoever the Eagles want, there's only four picks really there that are going to separate them from who they want. And same thing with the Giants.
It's almost blatant that they're going to take one of the receivers, whether it be Devonta Smith or Ja'Marr Chase. It has to be.
Definitely, or Waddle. I could see Waddle being their guy because you don't know what he truly is because he didn't play and injury history.
If we take a guy that we don't know who he is at six, I'm done with Howie Roseman.
Waddle's very good. So if you do take him, he was just out all season. He was very good last year. But like that's the thing I'm trying to say. Like, so the Giants just moved down in the draft too. Like, Are you like, yes, like Kansas City got Clyde Edwards-Helaire last year, but are you trying to tell me that he was like their number one target on the board? You're trying to tell me if he was like the number 10 pick, that's who they were going to pick? Like, no, every team wants to be lower in the draft because it gives them a higher likelihood of drafting the guy that they truly want. So, in a way, the Eagles kind of did the Giants organization a favor, even though the Giants players want to be in the playoffs trying to beat an all-star team.
Yeah, the thing is, though, with the all-star team, the Giants did almost beat the Bucks this year. It came down to the final drive, and they lost by like two, if I remember right.
I think that is correct. So, I mean, I just don't see it happening in the playoffs.
From the Giants' perspective, I, as a fan, and I, as someone who was a competitor, I would personally like to make the playoffs. I don't care how bad I was. If I can sneak into the playoffs, I would rather have that than a draft pick.
As a player, 100% agree. As an organization, as like the owner, the GM,
I think they want to win, though. That's the thing. I think they want to win, too. And that's why I think...
Owner, maybe. It's all about money. It's all about money for the owner, so I'll give you the owner. But the GM, if you're telling me that he could have, I think, what is it, the 19th pick or wherever they are in the draft now?
I think they're like, at the 11.
I'm sure he wants a lower pick.
I think they got 11.
Yeah, so it's either going to be 19 or 11, I think. Like, they moved down 8 spots just because they didn't make the playoffs.
And 19 is only if they don't win a game in the playoffs, right? Wouldn't they go up if they win?
Yeah. So, like, that's a big jump. Why? We're saying 6 is better than 9, but wouldn't 11 be better than 19? This isn't the NBA where every pick after pick 2 is a dart at the wall. Like, I don't know.
I'm under the thought that if you get in the playoffs, I think that's worth more than a draft pick, to me at least. And that's what I'm basing my opinion on.
I think it is worth more, but that I only think it's worth more when your team's actually good. Like the Giants, Washington, Philly, Dallas, they all have big holes to fill this offseason. Dallas has to figure out what they're doing at quarterback. They got to work on that defense. Eagles got a lot of... Eagles just need to get healthy to start, one.
That's not going to happen as long as Howie Roseman's
here. Like, Giants, they got to figure out what they're doing with Daniel Jones. Is he the future still? They giving him another chance? Again, I think they could work on that offensive line a little bit more, but you could definitely improve on defense. And Washington, I think you got to figure out your QB situation too. And I just think all four of those organizations have a lot where that's why I don't value a playoff spot for them as much as I would say Miami.
All right. We'll leave it at that. We went a little off topic there, but that's all right. Oh, so Bucks and not Redskins, Washington football team, 45.5 on over under.
I'll go over just because of the Bucks.
Just because the Bucks, all right. I think I'll take over on that one as well. I think Tampa Bay is going to take the lead early, and Alex Smith's not going to be able to get him back.
Bucks are my number two team in the NFC, by the way.
Don't say that. Behind the Packers?
Behind the Packers, yeah.
All right, we'll move to Sunday. Game one, Ravens-Titans, an invested interest for Jake and JP, who have money on one of the other teams. What do you think in this one? We obviously know there's this theory out there that there's playoff Lamar and he can't win a game. Now, this is a matchup we saw last year where the Titans got ahead very early and the Ravens could not come back on them. And the Ravens were clearly the favorites in that one. I personally, with the way the Ravens have been playing, would say they are the favorites now. Would you agree with that?
Yes, and I actually think Vegas does have them as the favorite.
They are a -3.5 right now.
So, yes, they're the favorite.
Yep, barely. The Titans, they almost lost to Houston week 17. They got the doink field goal to win it. Nice job, them. Derrick Henry, we know what he brings. 250 yards, 2,000-yard rusher this season. On the flip side, the Ravens rushed for 400 yards last week. How many pass attempts do you think are going to be in this game? Over or under 25 total?
Oh, over.
I'm going under.
Great guess. But I think Baltimore is going to try to shoot themselves in the foot early in the game and prove to everyone that Lamar is a passer. So there's probably going to be at least three passes on the opening drive. I'm assuming they'll get a first down at some point in that drive.
Three passes for 9 yards. So I think
it'll be at least three passes. Yeah, that's fine, but that's three passes. You said 25, so now I'm down to 22. But yeah, I think there'll be more passes, because I think you saw last year, like when Tennessee needed Tannehill to throw the ball, they trusted him, and that might become the scenario this year. Now, does playoff Lamar come out and play like playoff Paul George? I don't know. Or does he actually show improvement in his passing game and they don't rely as much on the running game with him? That just sounds like a no in my head. Like, they're going to run the ball no matter what, but I think there'll be more than 25 pass attempts.
So who do you have winning? Do you have the Ravens winning this or the Titans going on?
That part I'm not sold on yet either. Part of me says because of typical Lamar, I would say the Titans, but I think I like the Ravens just because of how they've looked the past couple weeks.
I'm sticking with the bandwagon of playoff Lamar. I'm taking the Titans.
I mean, I can't blame you for doing it. Like, I don't know. He just struggles throwing the ball. And that's his biggest weakness, and I don't think he has great wide receivers personally. So I could see them struggling in this game.
So over under is 55 in this one. I'm taking the under.
Oh, because, under.
Because there's not going to be any passing in my mind. Yeah, 55.
And yeah, under on that. And my main thing is like the 25 is probably pretty close to what it's going to be. And I think it's going to be because this is going to be a time of possession game. They're going to try to control clock and stuff, both teams. So, but yeah, definitely under. That's way too high.
I mean, last year they did get over 55 because the Titans had like 40, if I remember right. It's like 40-something to 20-something.
Yeah.
All right, next game on the docket for Sunday, the Bears and the Saints. And I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of rooting for the Bears.
So, I think the question becomes, what weapons does Drew Brees have? Is Kamara going to be activated off the COVID list? Is Michael Thomas going to come off the IR and stop being a snake to your fantasy team?
He can be a snake now. I don't even care. I'm done with him.
Brees doesn't have either of those weapons.
I mean, we saw last...
Chicago's offense and New Orleans offense pretty comparable. I kind of think so. Allen Robinson, Manuel Sanders, Latavius Murray, David Montgomery.
The Bears offense is a little better right now if Kamara and Thomas are not there.
And that's the thing. I think I would say they're a little better too. Now you go to the other side. Who has the better defense?
If there was a fan base there in New Orleans, I would go the Saints.
Oh, the Saints, they are able to have fans, which they're not. The Saints are easily winning that game just because of the fans alone. This game all depends on the health of New Orleans for me and what's going to happen with their skilled position players.
It's tough to trust Mitchell Trubisky in the playoffs.
I don't trust him in general, but he does have a pretty good record. In general, like 25-12 or something like that.
I think he does have a better record than like Deshaun Watson and all that, but which just draft class perspective. But once again, wins are not a QB stat.
No, they're not. It's a whole team stat.
Over under in that game is 48.
I'll take the under right now just due to the uncertainties of players.
You know, I'll take the over. And if it was in Chicago, I'll take the under, but it's not. It's in a dome. I'm going to go over.
No weather. That is true.
And, you know, Chicago's offense, they've been clicking lately. They've been doing all right. All right, last game. This one, unfortunate news for the Cleveland Browns today that their head coach is going on the COVID list, will not be available. But Browns at Steelers, this one I'm a little bit torn on. Like, it hasn't come out, at least to my knowledge, who the two players are that got COVID and will not be active this week. But I am very tempted to say Cleveland's going to win this game.
I want to say Cleveland's going to win the game too. I just don't trust Ben right now. That's my biggest issue. I don't trust their offense. But no head coach is a big issue, I think.
It is. I agree.
I don't even know whose assistant coaches are.
I think so they said the special teams will be head coaching.
So, like, who was it? The Giants just had this issue too, didn't they? Where Kitchens had to take over as the head coach, I think.
Yes, yeah.
Like, that's a coach I would not trust at all. Just, I don't like Freddie Kitchens. I didn't like him last year.
Here we go. So, special teams coordinator Mike Prefer. Special teams coordinator is coaching.
Like, I don't even know who that is.
I don't either.
I've never heard of the guy. But if the Browns can establish their running game, I know the Steelers have a very good defensive line, which was mainly rested this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
T.J. Watt is probably going to win Defensive Player of the Year. He's an absolute beast. But the Browns have probably the runner-up in that, in Myles Garrett, who was able to stay on the field all season this year. I want to say Cleveland just because I don't trust Pittsburgh. And it would be typical Pittsburgh fashion to just choke in the playoffs. I've seen it plenty of times. But it's a very big question mark for me.
So one of the COVID players is left guard Joel Bitonio, who's a 3-time Pro Bowler. He will not be playing this week.
That sucks.
Yeah, that's a big one for Cleveland. I'm trying to find if there's another that I can see here. Let's see. Nope, Kevin Stefanski. Yeah, I'm not seeing the other one. Just
probably another offensive lineman that he was in close contact with or something like that.
I'd assume so. As well as
as long as you can go.
The special teams coordinator will be head coaching, but the offensive coordinator, Alex Van Pelt, will call plays on Sunday, apparently.
Okay, so that's pretty fine, I guess.
So we'll see. I'm gonna stick with it. I'm gonna stick with Cleveland. I think they're gonna win it for their head coach. It'll be a close game. I think Baker, as long as Baker doesn't make mistakes, I think he's been one of the best game managers in the league this year. Because they have such a good run game, he doesn't have to be anything extremely special. But I think he's gonna get it done.
Yeah, I agree. As long as it comes out that Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt weren't in close contact with these two players and that they're able to play, I think the Browns have a legitimate chance, and you're going to have to rely on the play management of Baker Mayfield, which I think can work. So I'll stick with the Browns. I think I told you that they were my team that I'm going to root for this offseason, this postseason, now that my Patriots are out. So I'll stick to my guns with that.
All right. So we have the two teams with the byes, the Chiefs and the Packers. Who's the most likely team to upset them in each conference?
Buffalo and Tampa Bay.
Buffalo and Tampa Bay. I will go with Buffalo, and I'm going to go Seattle. I feel like there's always something in the air if Seattle plays Green Bay that it tends to go Seattle's way.
That is true. Seattle does seem to hold up against Green Bay. The one thing I think Green Bay really has going for them is that they're hosting, obviously.
I agree. Russell has not been that great in cold weather.
So, as a Packers fan, like, you guys are praying for cold weather, like, -5 wind chill. You're hoping for the worst weather possible, especially because if the Bears and Rams both lose this week, Tampa Bay would have to go up to Green Bay next weekend.
And that's a team, we obviously know Tampa Bay beat them handily early in the season. That was in Tampa Bay, though. And Tom Brady clearly doesn't have an issue with cold weather. We know that. So that could be another a game that they could knock them off. And I agree. I think Tampa Bay could win that game. I still like Green Bay personally, but Tampa Bay could win that game.
Only players that I trust in the cold weather against Tampa Bay, Green Bay, are Brady and Gronkowski, just because they experienced it for years. But I think Green Bay is different cold than New England cold. But
definitely, yep.
Yeah, those are my top four teams: Green Bay, Tampa, Buffalo, Kansas City. I think one of those four is going to win the Super Bowl.
So I have invested money on all of the 1 and 2 seeds. So I'm just hoping that is a Super Bowl with the 1 and 2 seeds from either side. I don't care who. I'm just hoping one of those four teams, or two of those four teams, makes the Super Bowl.
If you can get two, then
it's an automatic win. Like, I can just sit there and watch the game happily.
Exactly.
So Saints, Packers, Bills, Chiefs, you know, I'm rooting hard for you. The only other team I have money on is the Bears, and they would have to knock off both the Packers and the Saints. So not great there.
Packers would be next round.
Yeah.
And they would have to travel for every game too, which would suck.
They would. I agree. So I'm not really rooting for the Bears, even though they would make me the most money.
Who's making the least? Kansas City?
Yes. Kansas City was just the hedge bet, just because if they win, then I'll make my money back that I put down.
Makes sense.
And JP and Jake. Jake's got the Ravens. JP's got the most amount of money on the Titans, so he's putting all his eggs in that basket.
I just don't see it. I don't trust Tannehill. I don't trust their defense.
I think we said that last year, though, and they put out a pretty good run.
They did. They got to the championship game. I just think
they had a lead in that
game. Kansas City is. Yeah, but Kansas City is like the one team in the league right now where, like, I feel like if their back is pressed against the wall, that team can still find a way to fight and win that game. Like, they're the team I have the most confidence in out of all the teams in the playoffs right now.
Oh, I do.
Out of all the teams in the league right now.
I do too. I'm not betting against Patrick Mahomes.
No.
It's tough to say that for a player who's literally played like 3 years in the league, but he's that good in my mind.
Did you see the Ryan Fitzpatrick no look a couple weeks ago?
Oh yeah, the one where he got his head torn off.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
So Patrick Mahomes commented on it and was like, "Hey, that's the best no look pass in the history of the NFL." And then there were other people that commented. I don't know if you saw this, but fans were like, if Patrick Mahomes did that, people would have been saying that he's a Hall of Fame quarterback already.
I mean, he is a Hall of Fame quarterback already.
I don't think he is.
If he wins this year, automatically in.
Automatically in, but he still has more to prove to me. Because he could become the greatest of all time if he wins more.
Oh, he could. He just has to stay healthy. I think he's set up for a long-term success in Kansas City, clearly with the coaching, the players around him. He's taking pay cuts to keep other players. I think he's doing everything the right way.
He didn't take a pay cut.
Yeah, he did. He took a pay cut to keep Chris Jones there this offseason.
Well, this offseason, but that extension was not a pay cut.
No, the extension was a pay cut. They said he could have gotten a lot more money, but he chose to get less so they could put other players around him.
Oh, okay. That's the thing. You got to be able to manage the cap. That's what New England did. For so long, you manage that cap, then you're able to have success.
Which I think his deal is, I think that for 10 years down the line, with how much they're going to be paying him, I think he did a good job of it.
Yeah, I feel like if he can get into this 6 years from now, that number that he's making year 7 is going to be way below market value.
Yep, absolutely.
It's like a projection, so...
He clearly deserves to be number one right now in payment, obviously. But down the road, they're going to be getting a steal on him if he's still playing like this, which hopefully he is.
So, with the way the league ended, who's your MVP?
It is going to be Aaron Rodgers.
That doesn't sound like it. That's your pick, though.
No, he's my pick. I don't want it to be. I'd rather have Mahomes win it, but I think Rodgers will get it. He was the better quarterback this year.
Yeah, I think Rodgers is going to get it too.
I was on Mahomes all year until really the last like 3 weeks. him sitting week 17 also didn't help. I think with Rodgers playing for a playoff spot, I think that helps Rodgers' case. I'll stick with Rodgers.
We need the win to get that one seed.
Yep. Josh Allen, I think, is going to come in third, maybe fourth. Derrick Henry, probably the other one of those, 3-4.
Stephon Diggs, I think, should be 5 on the list.
Diggs, wow, okay. Yeah.
See
if he gets any votes.
I think he definitely should, but I don't even know if they count up to 5 picks, like 5th options and stuff like that. But I think a large part of Allen's success is Stephon Diggs, but
I agree with that, definitely.
And then you mentioned Coach of the Year. My Coach of the Year is Brian Flores.
I was on Brian Flores for most of the year, but I'm going Kevin Stefanski.
Stefanski's my number 2. Yep.
I think I'm not going to say it's a mishap in handling Tua, but man. I don't think Tua was good at all this year, and I think they could have stuck with Fitzpatrick.
I just hate watching lefty quarterbacks, to be honest. So,
you didn't like watching Michael Vick?
No, I hate lefties. It just doesn't look natural to me. The only sport that looks natural to me is basketball.
Not even baseball?
Pitchers, but I don't know. Batters, for some reason, look weird and stuff like that.
You know, they're people, too.
There. I'm not against them.
No,
it
sounds like you're against left-handed people.
I mean, besides Vic, who's the most recent left-handed quarterback? Probably no one, right?
Tim Tebow. I can think of. Tim Tebow.
He doesn't count.
Why not?
He plays baseball, though.
He does now, but he's,
I don't know.
He won a playoff game.
He does. Very exciting playoff game.
It was. That was a really good game.
I don't know. I've just never been a fan of lefties.
What are some of the other awards that they give out? Coach of the Year, MVP.
Defensive Player of the Year.
Defensive Player of the Year. I am going to go with TJ Watt.
Yeah, he's my number one. Garrett's right behind him, though.
Garrett. I think Garrett, after he got COVID, fell off a little bit.
Which is understandable.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Offensive Player of the Year.
And then,
I think that has to go to Henry.
Yeah, probably going Henry. I mean, 2,000 yards is insane. I can't really dispute that.
Travis Kelce would probably be my second there, and then Diggs.
Yeah, I would agree with those. Those are probably the top 3 options. Offensive Rookie of the Year, there's becoming a lot of debate between it. Who do you got?
It's hard not to say Justin Jefferson, but I'm going to say the Jacksonville rookie, James Robinson.
Oh, that's actually not even – I don't even have him in my top 2.
That dude was fantastic on a absolutely horrible team.
Yeah, he was. You can't knock him at all. I remember when – Fournette got released, I was like, who do they even have a running back right now? And the kid popped out of nowhere.
He did.
I was not expecting that.
Yep, 100%. I don't think he'll win it just because it's the Jacksonville Jaguars. But I think Jefferson will win it just because he broke records.
I'm between Jefferson and Herbert.
I love my boy Herbert.
He completely proved me wrong. I questioned his leadership ability, and here he is becoming one of the best QBs of his draft.
I think he was the best this year, at least, of his draft, without a doubt. Joe Burrow, obviously, injury affected that, but...
Yeah, if we're judging those three off, him, Tua, and Burrow off of what we've seen, I would say him.
You're forgetting about Jalen Hurts.
I consider him in the Lamar Jackson better runner than quarterback category.
Wow. All right. I mean, I would say the same about Tua.
Tell me I'm wrong.
Because, you know, Tua doesn't pass the ball very well either.
No, he doesn't.
I would take Hurts over Tua right now.
Sure on that.
All right. Well,
I mean, you basically are Alabama trying to make that decision. Alabama had that same decision making. They went with Tua. And
yeah, but
it served them pretty well.
That was pre-injury Tua.
It was. And that was my biggest knock on Tua, was the injury. I mean, it's just, it, like, where there's a limited body area in which a QB can get hit, and it's from the knees to the shoulders. Right in the middle of that is his hip. Like, he's going to get punishment on that hip, and who knows how long it'll hold up.
I definitely thought you were going to go with Hunoa, like Tua. Hunoa.
Oh, yeah. Hunoa Tua.
But, yeah, I'd say Herbert's definitely in the conversation there, too, with Jefferson. I don't think James Robinson will even get considered that much, but he's in my consideration personally. But Jefferson, Herbert, probably one of those two will win it.
I know other people that have said Robinson, so he might finish third, but I just don't see him taking it.
Other standouts I'd throw out, Antonio Gibson in Washington played really well this year.
Yep.
CeeDee Lamb, I think, is going to be a very good receiver, but when Dak went down, his numbers declined. I can't think of, I mean, Claypool, you might hear his name once in a while.
I'm not sold on Claypool yet, but yeah.
I'm not either, and it's mostly just because that offense is, you have three weapons and Deontay, Juju, and him. I don't think he's, like, putting up massive numbers anywhere.
He was at first, but then he almost just became, like, okay, run deep and draw a pass interference call.
Correct.
And that's what he became.
He was during the Eagles game. Before that, he was awful.
Okay, sorry.
That was the game he had, like, four touchdowns. How many touchdowns did he end up with? Probably, like, six?
I think so.
So four of them.
Miles Sanders supposedly went off, just to let you know.
I did see that update, and I'm reading it right now. And
A lot of people on the team were confused.
Because Miles Sanders is the best player on the team.
Yeah, he probably is.
And he gets the ball like four times a game.
I don't get why they use him so low.
Because Doug Peterson doesn't like to run the ball. Ever. So, all right, so here's what he said. Man, if I'm being honest, nobody liked the decision. Nobody. That's all I can say, really. I don't know who was the main person behind that decision. All I know is a lot of people on this team was confused. Let's be honest. We know who that decision was from.
Yeah, he's just being nice.
And congrats to Miles Sanders. Made the Pro Bowl here.
Good for him.
Yep. Him and Clyde Edwards-Helaire were the fan votes, last fan votes.
Very good. Very nice for them.
I don't really know why Helaire made it, but...
because he's on Kansas City and people want to see as many Kansas City players in the Pro Bowl. That's not going to happen.
That is probably true. Miles Sanders hasn't received 20 touches in a game since week three, and he's only had like three in his career.
Damn, that's crazy.
Best player on your team right there. Give him five touches a game. That's why we're 4-11-1.
So you want Chase, you said, right?
Who?
A Chase, the wide receiver?
I'm fine with either Chase or Smith. I don't have a preference. Chase obviously sat out this year, but I think he's still going to be a great receiver.
Is that the one from that's the LSU wide receiver, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of people say that since he's going to draft him.
I think since he goes O-line.
I think they need to go O-line.
I think the only team
heard a lot
is Miami that could go receiver ahead of us.
Looking at the order, yeah. I think it would be in best interest for Cincinnati to go offensive line, but I've heard a lot of people think that they're going to take Chase just because of the Burrow-Chase connection that already exists.
Lame. Nope, don't do that. You know, the Jets will probably take one. Keep Sam Darnold, get him a good receiver.
What do you do with Sam Darnold at this point?
I think you bring in a new coach, obviously, because Gase is gone. You ask him, do you like Darnold? Do you not? If he doesn't, get him out of here. Simple as that.
Also, Jets have 25 free agents this offseason. That's insane. That's a high amount.
That's half the team.
Like, the coach is basically going to come into a roster that's going to be halfling new players on the team, whether draft picks, free agents, trades, whatever. It'd be crazy.
Yeah, so Jacksonville.
Other question.
No, you know, the Jets are going to get Trevor Lawrence.
I know, I was just about to bring that up. If
they're still getting him.
Ryan I think Day. It's Day, the other option, Brian Day.
Yeah.
Go to Jacksonville. I could see Justin Fields. It might depend on what Fields does in the championship game.
Oh, they're winning it. They're beating Bama.
Are they, though?
No, probably not.
Urban Meyer gets the job, I could see him taking Trevor, but if Day gets the job, I would say Fields is going one. So it kind of depends on who gets that coaching position.
Man, how much of an outroar would Jacksonville have if that happened?
Would it be like Patrick Mahomes 2.0?
I don't know. Maybe Fields is going to be a good quarterback. I don't know. He's clearly shown he's a tough dude. He can play.
Very tough. Yep.
So the Jets get Lawrence. The Dolphins are going to take Devonta Smith. Falcons
or
somebody. Yeah. Somebody else. I don't really know. They have a lot of issues. The Bengals will take that Oregon dude. Sanai, something like that. That lineman. And then the Eagles will take the other receiver left.
Eagles will take a BYU wide receiver that you've never heard of.
Honestly, it'll be some like Stanford dude. That's Howie Roseman's MO. Honestly, I don't have any confidence in this draft. Like, we have the six spot, and you can't miss in the six, but knowing us, we're going to miss.
As you know, Patriots need a quarterback, and my whole MO has been, like, I've been comparing this draft to the 2018 draft. 2018 draft was your Mayfield, your Lamar, Josh Allen. Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold. Like, a lot of QB talent came into this draft. And you're hearing the same thing about this one in terms of whether it be Trevor, Fields, the kid from BYU. I don't know his name. Trask. The Bama quarterback, Mac Jones?
Mac Jones.
Something.
He sounds like
Mac
a news
Jones.
Reporter.
He's 35 right now.
Mac Jones.
He sounds like something I would order off of freaking McDonald's, like a Big Mac. Like,
can I get the Big Mac, Jones? Hold the lettuce.
Like, that's my biggest concern on the team is I was filling that QB need. And I just look at, we're 15, and there are teams on that list ahead of us that need QBs too or could draft QBs for the future, and it worries me.
Question.
I don't know if they're going to get one.
Is Gilmore a free agent? Yeah.
I don't think so, but J.C. Jackson is a restricted free agent.
All right, so here I'm going to pull out my Howie Roseman hat, and I'm going to offer you a trade. I will give you pick 6 for pick 15 and Gilmore.
I would do it.
You would
Gilmore
do it?
Has one more year on contract.
Wait, did you say
but
you
yes,
would
I
do
would
it?
Do it.
You would do it? All right. All right, that's
would.
The deal. Good.
My hand is up there. I'm taking it right now.
All right, I'll take it.
He has one more year on his contract.
Awesome. And he didn't have a serious injury, right? It was just something minor?
Yeah, nothing major.
All right, good. Good. Can't wait to see Gilmore and Slay in our secondary.
What's our QB?
Doesn't matter. We have 3 of them on the roster who are clearly starting material.
Don't you have 4, too? Josh McCown sitting in Texas waiting to get called up?
No, actually, Houston signed him to their practice squad.
Oh, that sucks.
Sad day.
But yeah, like I look at this top 15 picks, like Jacksonville quarterback, Jets quarterback, Miami. You and I talked about it. There are people that are saying Miami should take a quarterback just due to being unsure of Tua. So I'll put them as a question mark.
Falcons possibly quarterback.
I've heard rumors. What?
Falcons also possibly could be quarterback.
Well, yeah, I've heard that Falcons might release Matt Ryan due to his cap. So. Due to his contract, so possible quarterback there. Cincinnati, no quarterback. Eagles, probably no quarterback. Lions, I've heard that they might release Matt Stafford due to his contract, because he earns $10 million just straight up for the next 2 years, right as the new season begins. Doesn't have to play a single down, nothing.
He deserves it.
He does. He, talk about a tough quarterback. He's tough.
Yep.
Carolina, they might draft for the future. Like, as good as Teddy Bridgewater was for him as a bridge quarterback, they don't really have a future in what they're doing. Denver. Is Drew Lock the answer? Who knows? Possible quarterback. Dallas. Who knows? Like, are they re-signing Dak? Do they want a young quarterback behind Andy Dalton? Like, if he's going to be on the roster? I don't know. Giants. Is Daniel Jones the future?
Nope.
Possible quarterback. San Francisco might release Garoppolo if they can get a better veteran who doesn't get hurt as much. Possible quarterback in that as a backup. Chargers, no quarterback. Minnesota, possible quarterback. Like, and then finally the Patriots. There are just so many teams that I could see that are on, like, they might target a quarterback, but they also might not. Obviously, they could fill other roles. Like, Dallas will probably take a cornerback, etc. But it just scares me. There's a lot of teams that are needy of quarterbacks, I think, right now. And Patriots happen to be one of them.
You guys have a trade offer from me if you'd like it.
I mean, I'll send it to Bill Belichick and let you know what he says.
All right. I know Howie would be all over that. He loves doing things that are ill-advised.
I mean, you offered it, so it's obviously not ill-advised. You're an Eagles fan, and you offered it.
You're right. Us Eagles fans should run the organization. For every draft pick, they should just Belichick put a poll
up. They should. Belichick was trying to trade Gilmore this offseason, supposedly, too, so you might have your thought.
I'm okay at 15. I think we could still get maybe Waddle or Patrick Surtain as a corner or something like that. I don't know. Or a linebacker, because we clearly need those.
I want the floor. Personally, I don't care if the Patriots don't take a QB at 15, even though it's probably their biggest need. But there's a tight end in Florida. Pitts is his last name. That's who I want.
No, so. You don't. You have Aussie.
Yeah, finally got a touchdown.
He did. That guy's turned out to be the real stud.
Well, you better be on notice. I know you've been a fan of his since the beginning.
I have, and I'm drafting him next year. Fantasy pick number 27 or whatever's last.
Round 27?
Yep, that's what I meant. Pick 27, yeah. That'd be early.
Two catches, 39 yards, 19.5 average. 26 was as long with one touchdown. That's his career stat so far.
Oh, baby. I'm excited for him. All right, I think we will we'll ask one more question here. Who do you have winning the Super Bowl?
Kansas City right now.
Kansas City. I also have Kansas City. So we have the same team. If you're listening to this, go put money on them right now because it's an automatic win. So, yeah,
we don't lie to people.
Oh, no, we don't. We don't lie ever. Doug Peterson lies. He said we played to win the game. We didn't. But, yeah, we'll end it right there. We'll probably be back here sooner or later after maybe the Super Bowl, maybe before the Super Bowl since it's another month out. But, yeah, thanks, Mike, for coming on and discussing.
Thank you.
All right. Peace out, Cub Scouts.